Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven.
Switchboard. So, anyway, we're back on live. Hopefully, hopefully everything's going to go all right here. Let me know if anybody can hear me. If you'd let me know that switchboard. So, anyway, we're back on live. Hopefully, hopefully everything's going to go all right here. Let me know if anybody can hear me. If you'd let me know that. Anyway, I keep getting an echo here, so I'm not sure what's going on with this program today. But anyway, the program that we're doing today is about the Catholic Church, and is Mary really the Queen of Heaven? So I'd love to know your thoughts. If anybody would like to call in, our live call-in number is 914-338-1638, and you can call in your questions and your comments. And like I said before, our topic is Mary the Mother of God? Is she the Queen of Heaven? And some other false Catholic doctrine. Now, being raised Catholic, I myself attended a Catholic school for 7 years, and so I'm well acquainted with the doctrines and the beliefs of the Catholic Church. In case anyone wonders why I pretend to know so much about it, well, I was in it heavily indoctrinated into it, and also am very alarmed because there's so many people that have been deceived by this cult. I call it a cult because it really is. They don't preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that salvation comes through faith alone. And I'm going to read you some quotes to prove my point, because I'm not just, I didn't just find this information on the internet from someone who was dissatisfied with Catholic teaching, so they just decided to put up some quotes. These quotes, some of them that I will be reading, have actually been taken from the Vatican II. I have a book that was sent to me by the Catholic Church, and it's the Vatican II collection, and it goes over the new documents and the new beliefs of the Catholic Church, so it actually comes from them. And then there's some websites, Catholic websites, that also explain some of their doctrines and their beliefs. And you'll be surprised. Now, one of the doctrines and beliefs that I'm sure most people don't know, especially born-again Christians, you probably don't really know this, but did you know that you're not saved because you don't belong to the Catholic Church? Well, that's what the Catholic Church teaches. If you go to the website Catholicism.org, and you can put in the search term, is there any salvation outside of the Catholic Church? So here's what they say. Outside the Church, there is no salvation. Is a doctrine of the Catholic faith that was taught by Jesus Christ to his apostles, preached by the fathers, defined by popes and councils, and piously believed by the faithful in every age of the Church. Here is how the Pope defined it. There is but one universal Church of the faithful outside which no one at all is saved. That's from Pope Innocent III, 1215 A.D. We declare and say and define and pronounce that it is absolutely necessary for the salvation of every human creature to be subject to the Roman Pontiff. That was from Pope Boniface VIII or the 13th, from 1302. The Most Holy Roman Church firmly believes and professes and preaches that none of those existing outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans but also Jews and heretics and schismatics, can have a share in life eternal. So that's what they believe and that's what they teach. So you might be shocked to know that. I'm sure most people don't know that, they say, the Catholic Church is a Christian church, and they talk about Jesus, and they talk about Jesus, but what Jesus are they talking about? They're not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Did you ever read in your Bible? I never read it in my Bible that there was a Catholic Church. It's not in there. So I want to know where they get this doctrine from, that there is no salvation outside of the Church, and they say it was taught by Jesus Christ to his apostles. So I don't see it in the Bible. It's not in there. They just make this stuff up to deceive people. So like I said, you can go to the Catholic website. You can also get a copy of this book, The Vatican II, and it's also in there that they say that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. And I remember as a Catholic myself, I was always trying to convert people, because if I met people that were a Methodist or they didn't belong to the Catholic Church, well, I was trying to convert them, because I knew that they couldn't know Jesus Christ if they didn't become a Catholic. Now, I didn't know Jesus Christ myself as a Catholic, because I had no idea who he really was. I knew, and we had plenty of statues of him hanging on a cross, and then he lived in a tabernacle on an altar. But as far as understanding what salvation really is, and what grace is, and what salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary, well, I never understood that. I never knew what it was. And most Catholics will tell you that they don't think they're good enough to go to heaven, and that maybe they'll make it to heaven if they perform enough good works. Well, we know that's not true, because there's none righteous, no, not one. We only have righteousness because of Jesus Christ and his shed blood on Calvary. So, anyway, like I said before, we have a live call-in line here, 914-338-1638. And if you were a Catholic or you're now a Catholic and you would like to call in a question, please do, because I'd love to hear your comments and your questions. Now, I wanted to also read to you here Now, I have a member of my family that is Catholic, and they adhere to this suffering doctrine very diligently. They love to suffer. They love to be sick because they believe that they're performing some kind of work for God through their sickness. Well, now, actually, that is one of the doctrines of the Catholic Church, and on page 15 here, of this book from the Vatican II papers, there is a chapter on the meaning of human sickness in the mystery of salvation. And I'll read a few passages. Understanding of the mystery of suffering and to bear their pain with greater fortitude, Christ's words show them that illness has a meaning and a value for their own salvation and that of the world. Now, come on. Either Jesus finished the work at Calvary or he didn't. So what human being can take a sickness upon themselves and it has value for their salvation and that of the world? Now, I have a relative that believes this, and she really believes that all her sicknesses and her sufferings are, she has to be sick and she has to suffer for other people's salvation. They are also aware that during his life, Christ loved the sick and that he often healed them. While sickness is closely connected with man's sinful state, it would be wrong to see it as a punishment on man for his sins. Christ was himself without sin, yet in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, he underwent his own passion and came to know human sorrow. Christ still suffers. Oh, really? I didn't know that. This is what they say in this book. Christ still suffers and undergoes torments whenever we, his followers, suffer. Wow. Now that's pretty heavy, isn't it? Christ himself undergoes torments. Yes, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's already paid the price for our sins. He's already suffered and died and rose again and ascended into heaven. But still, even in heaven, Christ is tormented. Wow. Let me read a few more verses here from this book because I'm sure many of you have never heard this. It is part of God's plan that we should combat all illness and should prudently seek the blessings of good health. We will thus be able to play our part in secular society and in the church. However, we should always be willing to complete what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Yes, a human being themselves can complete what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the salvation of the world. As we look towards the liberation of all creation in the glory of the sons of God. Further, sick people have this role in the church, to put others in mind of the essential, the higher things, reminding them that through the mystery of Christ's death and resurrection, our mortal life is given back to us. Now, now can you imagine that? And there's people that they really believe this, and they'll do anything to stay sick, to be sick, because they believe that they are actually completing the work that Jesus Christ did not complete. So Christ's sacrifice was not sufficient. That sounds like a false doctrine to me. That sounds like a cultish belief to me. You can hardly argue that that isn't. And now, another doctrine and belief of the Catholic Church is the real presence of Jesus Christ in a wafer. Now, some people say, well, I just believe that it's a symbol. Well, that's not actual Catholic doctrine. Catholic doctrine is that during the Mass, the priest can actually say prayers, and he does these incantations and whatever, and that actually that wafer turns into Jesus. It turns into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. And then people go up to the altar and they stick out their tongue or whatever, and they believe that they are receiving Jesus. Well, Jesus does not live in a wafer. He does not live in bread and wine. This is one of the most ultimate deceptions, because we know, and even a Catholic will tell you, that Jesus walked on the earth. He lived in a body. He died. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. He still lives in a body. So then how does Jesus Christ himself come down to earth, and then he inhabits a wafer? I mean, that's hard to believe, isn't it? No, that is hard to believe. But there's a billion people that believe it. Now, in this book here, the Vatican II Papers, on page 38, the sacrifice of the Mass, the Passion of Christ, is represented. The body which is given for us and the blood which is shed for the remission of sins are offered to God by the Church for the salvation of the whole world. In the Eucharist, Christ is present and is offered as the sacrifice which has made our peace, and so that we might be brought together in unity by the Holy Spirit. So they actually believe that Christ comes down and he inhabits a wafer. And then you go up to the altar and then you actually swallow Jesus. Now, it is hard for me to comprehend that people really believe this, and that an institution that calls themselves Christian actually teaches this. It has nothing at all to do with Christianity. It is a total deception, a total deception. But yet, you can hear people say, and deceive people, they will quote scripture, and they will say, oh yes, we believe in Jesus, and we believe in being born again. But when a Catholic tells you that they believe in being born again, they don't believe that they're born again by confessing their sins and receiving Jesus Christ into their life, not through a wafer, not swallowing Jesus, but to actually have a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I know what that is, because I was born again when I was 30 years old. And Jesus Christ changed my life. I went from having an old life to having a new life. It had nothing to do with communion or confirmation or any of that. It was having a personal relationship with the real God. And knowing that my sins were forgiven, and knowing that I could go to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to try to do enough good works to try to earn my way there, because the price has already been paid. But I'm going to read here again from this book, The Vatican II Council, and I'm going to read you from page 435. And here's what Catholics believe. They believe that those who are reborn in baptism join in the offering of the Eucharist by virtue of the royal priesthood. They likewise exercise that priesthood by receiving the sacraments, by prayer and thanksgiving, by the witness of a holy life, and by self-denial and active charity. Now, Catholics believe that they're born again when they're baptized. Now, babies do not talk, and Catholics are baptized when they're babies. So you're considered a Christian because you're a baby, and your parents belong to the Church, and so then you're baptized, so then that makes you a Christian, and that makes you born again. Well, a baby can't talk, so a baby cannot make a decision for Jesus Christ. You have to be able to understand what you're doing. You have to make a profession of faith yourself for salvation. Your parents can't do it for you. It has nothing to do with belonging to a church. You have to do that on your own. And even when I was about 7 years old, we went and we received a confirmation, which was a confirmation of our faith. But all we did was recite prayers from a prayer book. So I had no idea what I was really doing. I was just saying prayers, but I had no idea what I was saying. I was told to say these prayers, and I was told that I had to do this, but I had no idea what salvation really was or who Jesus Christ really was. I thought he was, he came to earth and he was murdered by the Jews. That's what we were told, is that the Jews killed him. And I felt sorry for him that, oh, that nice man Jesus died on the cross, but I had no idea why he was dying on the cross, because I never thought that I could go to heaven, because I knew I was a sinner. And I thought if I did enough good works and I stayed a good Catholic, maybe possibly I could make it there. But these are the actual beliefs of this organization, which some people say is a Christian church. Well, it is not a Christian church, because they do not follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. They do not follow the teachings of the Bible. They just make stuff up, and they ask you to believe it. So now I'm going to read from this book, The Vatican II Council, about what they believe about Mary, some of the things they believe about Mary. Now, from page 390, we believe that the Blessed Mary, whoever enjoys the dignity of virginity. Now, they believe that Mary was a perpetual virgin, that even though she was married to Joseph, they never had relations, and she never had any other children, that somehow, you know, there's something wrong with being married and having children and having relations in marriage. For some reason, there's something wrong with that, because you know, Mary had to stay a perpetual virgin, which that's not true, because she had other children. But this is what they teach. She was the mother of the incarnate Word of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, and that in view of her Son's merits, she was redeemed in a more exalted manner and preserved from all stain of sin. Now, I was reading on a Catholic website before I was doing this program, so they were saying, oh, biblical, so-called professing Christians and evangelicals like to say that we teach that Mary was free from sin, but we teach that she was free from the stain of sin. So, same thing, right? It says here that she was preserved from all stain of sin. Did you ever hear anything like that? My Bible says that there was only one righteous person that never sinned that walked the earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't read anywhere in my Bible that said anything about Mary dying for my sins and Mary being another sinless one. I didn't read that anywhere, so they made this up. She was preserved from all stain of sin, outstripping in excellence all other creatures by reason of the grace given her, because of her close and indissoluble, I can't pronounce this word, connection with the mystery of the incarnation and redemption, the most blessed Virgin Mary, the Immaculate, at the end of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heaven. Now, they also believe that she didn't die. Now, they're saying this right here, but they'll try to deny it. There was one Catholic website where they said, well, we don't really know, but they're saying it here in the Vatican II papers. She herself, Mary, ascended into heaven. Yeah, Mary. Mm-hmm. She ascended into heaven, her body and soul, and so became like her Son. Yeah. page 391, Vatican II papers, in case anyone doesn't believe. This was from the Vatican II. This was their council that was attended by cardinals and by the Pope, and they wrote this book. They wrote all these new. They wrote everything down for people to know what the beliefs were, what some of the new beliefs were. So it's in there, and so don't let anybody try to tell you that they don't really believe that, because this is what they really believe. She became like her son, who himself rose from the dead, anticipating thereby the destiny of the just. We believe that the Most Holy Mother of God, the new Eve, the Mother of the Church, continues in heaven her maternal role towards the members of Christ, in that she cooperates with the birth and growth of divine life in the souls of the redeemed. I find that hard to believe. I really find that hard to believe. I think any person with any kind of logical thinking would find that hard to believe, that Mary herself shares in Christ's divinity, and that she is also sitting up there on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Well, that's not true. That's not true. It's one big fat lie. And if you look in your Bible in Colossians 3:1, it says that Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. There's nobody else sitting on the right hand of God. Mary is not sitting on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ himself is sitting on the right hand of God. Romans 8:34 says, Jesus alone is our intercessor, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There's nobody else up there making intercession for us. Mary is not making intercession for us. I'm sure she was a very nice person. She did help raise Jesus, but of course, Jesus Christ never laid down his divinity. He was not. He did not have human DNA. He did not have a mother. Mary carried the embryo that was implanted in her by the Holy Ghost, but she had nothing to do with. She had nothing to do with it. She was just a willing vessel, just like people go out now. And they find someone, they have an embryo fertilized, and then they find someone to carry it for them, which I don't approve of, but they find somebody to carry it for them so they can have a baby. Well, the woman that's carrying it for them has nothing to do with the genetic makeup of that child. So, but yet the Catholic Church will tell you, and it's on their website, one of their websites, I'm going to try to pull it up for you, that they actually believe that Mary had something to do with the genetic makeup of Jesus Christ. Well, of course we know that that is not true. There's a website called Catholic.com, and of course, they like to say fundamentalists are sometimes horrified when the Virgin Mary is referred to as the Mother of God. Well, yeah, I'm horrified by it, because God doesn't have a mother. He doesn't need a mother. He always was. He always will be. It says here that Mary was the mother of Jesus in both senses, because she not only carried Jesus in her womb, but also supplied all of the genetic matter for his human body. Oh, really? Yeah, Mary had something to do with Jesus' genetic makeup. I don't think so. Anyway, it's a nice fairy tale. So you can read that yourself here at Catholic.com, and you can put in Mary, Mother of God. They have that story here about how she actually had something to do with the genetic makeup of God Almighty himself. That's not true. That cannot happen. God sent Jesus Christ into the earth. We know that Jesus Christ always was and he always will be. I believe in God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three distinct persons. I'm not a Jesus-only person. I don't believe that. You know, there's one God. Just I believe there's one God in three persons, but I don't believe that. There's some people that teach that God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are all one person, but that's not true. There's three persons, and we know that. And yet, I've even seen or heard people teach that, and yet they contradict themselves because they say that Jesus came on the earth and God the Father spoke to him from heaven. So how could then Jesus be God the Father if God the Father actually spoke to him from heaven? And then even when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit appeared. So there has to be three persons, one God in three persons. So there's some people that teach differently, but it's not true. Now, we know also that there's many pictures of Mary, and we especially Catholics, there's so many pictures of her, and you can see some on the internet, with a crown on her head, and she's standing on the moon, and also she also is standing on a serpent, and she's crushing the head of a serpent. Well, who does that? Not Mary. I didn't know that Mary crushed the head of the serpent. Oh, interesting. Also, in Revelation 12:1, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, who is that woman? Well, some Catholics would like to say that's Mary. Well, but I don't think that that's Mary. She is not the Queen of Heaven. But you'll see many, many pictures of Mary with the 12 stars around her head, standing, some pictures where she's standing on the earth, she's or standing on the moon. And Catholics also like to say that they don't worship Mary. Well, I sure did when I was a Catholic. I sure did. We even had a society for the Virgin Mary that we joined as girls. And, of course, they encouraged us to be virgins, which there's nothing wrong with that. That was a good teaching. But we sure did worship her. We bowed before her statue. We prayed to her. We sang to her. So that sounds like worship to me. Many Catholics try to deny that they worship Mary, but they really do worship her. But they play this mind game with their heads because even if you go to the Catholic website, they'll tell you, oh, fundamentalists like to say that we worship Mary, but we don't. We don't really worship Mary. We just honor her. I don't know. When you sing to somebody and sing their praises and stand before their statue. And then, of course, they like to tell you, too, that Mary appeared to people. She appeared to people at Lourdes. She appeared to people at Fatima. And she actually appeared to people, and she talked about peace. Well, the Bible says that we're not supposed to talk to dead people. So why would anybody even want to talk to Mary? Because we're not even supposed to do that, talk to dead people and communicate with the dead. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That sounds like witchcraft to me, going to some grotto and standing there and claiming I had an apparition. Even some people that tell you that they see Jesus. Well, Jesus is in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's what my Bible says. He's not coming down to earth to make appearances to special anointed people. And it just doesn't happen. So, anyway, there's so many doctrines and teachings from the Catholic Church that most people don't really realize what what they teach. And now, I myself, I believe that Peter never went to Rome. I don't have any biblical evidence that he was ever there. I don't believe he's buried there. There's no proof he's buried there. There's no proof he was the first pope. Peter was married, which is a shocking thing to say to a Catholic, is that Peter actually had a wife. So what did he do with his wife and his children? Did he divorce his wife, or was his wife, did his wife die, and then he went off to Rome and he became a pope? I don't think so. And I believe this also. I do not believe that, okay, there was a Protestant Reformation in the 1500s, but I don't believe that there was no church. I believe that from the time that Jesus left the earth, there always was a church. We don't know that much about the history before the 1500s. Of course, the Catholics have a huge library at the Vatican, and it's underground, and you can't see it, but there's many thousands of books there. I believe they themselves have tried to rewrite history, and there always was a church. There always was a remnant church that was there, even before the Protestant Reformation. There was always believers since the time Jesus left the earth. There's always been a church, and there always will be a true church. There will be a false church, and there will be a true church. But if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it's not true. It is not true. And the only way you can have salvation, it's not through joining a church. Just because you join a church, that doesn't mean you're saved. You yourself have to get down on your knees and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and to believe that he is a real person and that he is really God. And since he is really God, he knows what's best for your life, more than you know and more than I know and more than anybody else on this earth knows. Jesus Christ himself knows. God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to save sinners. That's what we believe. That's our blessed hope, is that the price was paid on Calvary. And there's nothing that any human being can do to earn salvation, because Jesus Christ did it all for us. And we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's a free gift that is offered to you. And it is a most wonderful gift. It's a most wonderful life to know Jesus Christ and to have peace and to have joy. And not to just know about him in your head, but to know about him in your heart and to love him and to worship him and him alone. So there's many, many false prophets that have gone out into the world. People made a big deal about this movie, The Passion of the Christ. Well, I never saw that movie. I never want to see it. It is not a Christian movie. I mean, actually, in that movie, supposedly they showed the backside of the person that they called Jesus Christ, a naked backside. Now, that there's nothing Christian about that. Who wants to have an image of the Lord Jesus Christ like that in their mind? So, there's a lot of things out there that look Christian, and people say it's Christian, and it's not. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God and the teachings of the Bible, then we have to toss it out and not receive it. and to speak out against it, because there's so many people that are deceived by these false teachings and these false religious systems. It is really very, very sad. So I'm sure so many of the people that will be listening to this program, you yourself have family members who are ingrained. I do. I have many family members that are ingrained in this Catholic system, and they can't get out. It's very hard for them to see the truth because they've been so brainwashed and so indoctrinated. But we pray for them. We pray for their salvation. And I want to thank you all for tuning in today. We had a few little technical difficulties in the beginning here, but anyway, God bless you. Tune in again next week. We'll be having some great programs coming up. And go to our YouTube channel, propheticnews.com, our website, propheticnews.com. Our YouTube channel is Prophetic News TV. So anyway, God bless you. Come back again next week, okay? We'll be looking for you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.